Take the mic. It's my turn.
Hey everyone, welcome to the podcast where we step out of the shadows, live out loud, and own our stories. Let's get into it.
Hey,
Danny,
Jackie.
hey girl, how are you?
I'm good. Guess what?
What?
As of this morning, what did I text you?
We have over 200 streams on Spotify. What?
And we've been doing this for 2 weeks.
Less than 2 weeks.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's
It's crazy.
insane.
I feel like this is our field of dreams moment. Like, if you build it, they will come. And we're so grateful for whoever has come. I saw this really great thing on Instagram where they showed like a perspective on like the number of likes. And it was like, it showed what a group of 50 people looked like. It showed a group of what 100 looked like, what 200 looked like, what 300. And then they skipped to 500 and then 1,000. And it's actually really big. And we forget that. We just like want the numbers. But I was thinking, like, when I was in college, there was a couple general education classes that I took where I had like 300 to 500 people in my class. And I remember looking around and being like, I'm just ahead in this sea.
300 people. That's insane.
Thank you, UC system, for weeding out people in majors.
Wow. That's a lot of people. I know. I can't believe 200 listeners. I don't know if I have like 200 people exactly in my life right now. So that's pretty amazing.
I know. By our powers combined and all of our friends and family supporting.
Yes. Thank you all so much. It really means a lot. Danny and I keep like kind of texting each other. We're like, is this real? Are we really doing this? This is
Pinch
amazing.
me.
Pinch me. We do a lot of pinch me. We do a lot of,
Yeah.
and it's been really great to have people reach out to us and tell us what they think about it. I will say I'm very proud of this. I have a lot of kids that I used to babysit for who are now full grown adults. Either going into high school or going into college, excuse me. I have kids that are out of college, and one of the recent graduates of college, she's like one of the coolest kids I know. She reached out to me and said, "I love your podcast." And I was like, "Not us, like
Listen.
being cool with like the 20 somethings, like what?"
Snaps.
Naps,
Snaps.
naps, naps, naps. I know. I
She
felt very, very cool.
didn't say it was sus or
No,
mid.
no, no. She was just like, it's really good. And I was like, oh, that means a lot because there's a lot that they can listen to, you know?
Yeah.
And yeah, another kid that I babysat for, he's a senior in high school and he was like, you are really cool. And that's probably one of my proudest moments, actually.
Love this. You were like, I'm gonna step into that.
Yep. I'm gonna step into that. I'm gonna step into that. Yeah.
We've also gotten who else has shouted us out? You blew up my phone with really great people.
I did. Okay, so we'll go down the line.
And thank you
So,
so much for sharing what I like haven't seen and
yes. Oh, yes. Of course. I'm always gonna like send it your way. You send my way. It's a team effort. It's a team effort. But Olivia Kinter, who is one of the instructors at The Limit, one of like I call her the jumping bean because she literally is a jumping bean in class. She came into the bakery and she was like, I was just walking around the Upper West Side and I thought I'd stop by. And lo and behold, and she shows me her phone and she's listening to my turn. And I was like,
Look at what's on the phone.
no, I know. And then today, excuse me, today I took her class. So much fun. And during there's like right before we have our mashup, final mashup and dance cardio, she was just giving a little spiel. And she was like, you know, International Women's Month. It's Women's Month. That's what it is. And for March. And she was like, so I want to shout out a couple of women in here. And she said, Jackie, the podcast, my turn. And she's like, you, Danny, I love it. It's so good. Everyone listen. Oh, and then the final dance was Power, which that song Power by Little Mix has the hold up.
My turn.
Yep, which was the inspiration for the name of this podcast. And exactly. So when the card came up, I went up to the screen and I like did a little, you know, my turn. And she went, Jackie, my turn. So, very.
If I was there, I would have lost it. It's like a dream come true.
I teared up a little bit and I felt invincible. And I thought of you because remember the other day you sent me a message that you heard the song again and you were getting like overwhelmed by it.
I got really overwhelmed. I mean, I used to get overwhelmed when we listened to it because it was in dance cardio and I've gotten better, but I was terrible at dance cardio, especially with my coordination. It's more for conventional sporting. My body is made for. But I kept up with dance cardio. And that song, when it came on, I was walking in the train station and I was like, why am I getting emotional over this like bopping song right now? But it felt like I'm just in my own neighborhood in Tribeca, walking around from the subway and stepping into my own power.
Yes, yes, yes.
So no, if you guys don't know, it's Power by Lil Mix.
Mm-hmm.
Is that mm-hmm. a show notes thing?
That's a it show is notes. A show notes thing. I'm actually wondering if we need to make a playlist of all of our favorite songs.
Oh, I think so.
I think we need to do that. So we'll get that going and we'll put it in show notes. That'll be as this week's project. And obviously number one has to be Power by Lil Mix. And there's a part in it after the first verse where they go, hold up. My turn, and it's just amazing. And we were talking about that when we were brainstorming and dreaming up this podcast, daydreaming about this podcast, more about daydreaming a little later. And when we heard that, I was like, that's the title.
Like that's the title.
Yeah. So that was really cool. That was really fun.
And our friend Carrie. Oh my gosh, she made this wonderful post, reposted the episode with Queen Victoria and just like lifted her up. They're also workout buddies and it was really cool to just see that. Just women supporting women. Mm-hmm. And Elizabeth Lindley, another trainer at The Limit, she also gave us a shout out. You want to talk about that?
Yes, she gave us a shout out in class as well the other day, just how much she loved the podcast. It's just, it's really wonderful. And it means a lot, especially from people that, you know, we really admire and kind of just really look up to those people. And so it's really cool to have other people kind of see our work and get excited about what we're doing.
Exactly. And also I think with this, you know, with people really getting into the podcast, it's made us so grateful. And it's like the little things, like the text or like a little shout out. And it's not anything that we take for granted. And I know that the two of us would be excited, even if it was one person doing this. And it's not taken for granted. In fact, it fuels me. I think it feels you too.
Oh, for sure.
Yesterday we had a little bit of back and forth, like kind of difficult moments. This was just like a long week for both of us. Mm-hmm. And it was incredible. Just we actually texted each other about like some golden nuggets that Victoria had said on our podcast. But speaking of being grateful, I want to talk a little bit about what we're grateful for about the podcast thus far in 2 weeks and like what we've learned already. Mm-hmm. I was walking and sort of thinking about what we were texting, like kind of our wins and then kind of like our really difficult moments this week. There was a lot of highs and lows. And like at the end of the week, I think both of us were like, can we get some like mid-level energy just so we can write it out?
Mm-hmm.
And I realize that this podcast is allowing us to authentically show up for ourselves. Whatever that means, we're still learning. But throughout our jobs, me as a PT, I'm holding space for patients. And Jackie, you're literally in customer service, retail, and with the food tours, mm-hmm. you're having to be, you know, bestowing knowledge about the areas that you guys are going to, but also the entertainment. And mm-hmm. I feel like you're holding space for those people and meeting them where they're at, which is a part of our jobs. But this podcast, I feel like it allows us to take up space where we get to know ourselves and we don't get to practice who we are that often. So mm-hmm. I really feel like I'm grateful that we get to meet our authentic selves, but like do it together.
I know. I love that. And I completely agree because in all of the work that we do, we have to look to other people and kind of just think about other people more than ourselves. And you kind of just not forget about yourself, but you kind of put myself off to cater to people. And it's, sometimes you just have to, it's really nice to have a friend that I could sit with and be like, oh my gosh, this happened this week. I'm so frustrated, you know, or whatever it could be. And so it's been really nice to have that.
Oh, I feel the exact same way. So yeah. Thanks guys for listening to our love fest again.
We really appreciate it.
So what did you do this weekend?
Oh my gosh, my weekend was crazy. What did I do? So I consider Friday part of the weekend. I know it's not technically part of the weekend, but it is for me. So I was at, Danny and I recorded Jolynn's Instagram live with her. That was really fun where we got to be interviewed. And that was really exciting. That was on at Friday at 1 p.m. And then after that, I had my voice lesson, which I love.
Right.
I take voice lessons with Michael Foreman. He's an incredible coach.
I'm going to put that in the show notes.
Mm-hmm. You can put it in the show notes. He's amazing. And I just love going in and singing with him. And so we were working on, we've been doing a lot of new songs. And so he taught me two new songs that I'm working on. I rediscovered another song. So I had in my book years ago, The Drowsy Chaperone, which is like one of my favorite shows.
What?
So now I'm going to get to sing it again. I'm very excited for that.
That sounds like a chaperone that you would kind of want on a field trip younger.
Yes, yes, yes. The Drowsy Chaperone, I saw the show at the boys' high school where I used to do shows years ago. They did it. And I thought, this is one of the most darling little musicals I've ever seen. And the character of the chaperone is hilarious. And she's like this big brassy character. And so I was excited that I'm excited that I get to try that song again and hopefully add it into my rep book, you know?
Have to listen to that.
Yes, yes. Oh, it's so good.
Or do you wanna, no, I won't put you on the spot. I was gonna say, sing a bar?
Stay tuned for that. We'll work on it. We're printing out the music right now and working on it a little more. And then after that, I closed at the bakery. So I had we were busy at Leven that day. And then on Saturday, yesterday, I gave a food tour in Nolita to 8 people. And that actually was a great group. It was a family of 4 and then two sets of 2 in the, yes. And it was really fun. They were a great group. And really engaging. And so that I had a blast with that. I love giving that tour. It's in Little Italy, and it's the stories are a blast and the food is really good. And then I went back to Leven after that, and Leven was crazy because it was gorgeous out. It was a gorgeous, gorgeous day. So that always means it's gonna be busy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. People are out and about.
Exactly, exactly. How about you? How was your weekend?
Wait, do you remember texting me last night about Love is Blind?
Oh my gosh.
While were traveling home.
Oh my gosh. Yes, 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 yes. Thank you for reminding me.
Because it was so funny.
guys. Okay. So I caught up on Love is Blind this weekend. So this has been very interesting because they usually the pod episodes where they all meet and where they decide they're going to marry this person, which is wild. It's just wild. Absolutely wild. Those pod episodes are usually maybe 1, 2, maybe 3. This year, this season, they made it 6 episodes. So it was just really long. So I'll admit that I ended up fast forwarding a lot through that because I was like, I just can't. I can't.
You got to get to the proposals.
I got to get to the proposals. So I got to the proposals. Then they went on their honeymoons and the honeymoon was really juicy. But when they came home, all hell broke loose. And it was just top-notch television.
So they like dragged out the beginning.
They dragged out the beginning.
And then it blew us up.
Yes, it was worth the wait though. These guys are just, so I'll give you a quick little synopsis just so I don't, you know, take us too off far off. There's this guy, Dave. And Dave came on the show, but he has an older sister that he really loves. He really admires his older sister. His older sister doesn't want him to go on the show because she's worried that he's going to meet some girl that just wants to get famous. So he has a lot of reservations about this process, but he wants to go on it. And he ends up falling for this girl, Lauren. They get engaged. They come home and he gets his phone back and he gets all these texts from his friends that are like, oh, that girl, Lauren, that you're with, which how did they already know that he was with Lauren? I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, they knew that girl, Lauren, that you're with. She was in a situationship before she got onto the show and he just could not get past it. So the whole time she's like, Dave, it was nothing. And he was like, yeah, but my friends are saying this. She's like, I'm telling you, it was nothing. He's like, yeah, but my friends.
Yeah,
like,
but it was a situationship.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. So then his sister like refuses to come on the show. He doesn't want his friends to come. Like it's this whole thing. He's like, but my friends, she's like, yeah, but you're potentially marrying me. And I'm telling you that this is not real and that you're being ridiculous.
I'm stressed out about this. It's because they don't have the skills to communicate. And so it's not even a fight. It's not even a fight because they don't even know what their fighting style is with each other.
But he just was, and then what was really bad was at the end of their whole thing, he kept saying, well, your dad said this. Like this girl, Lauren's dad refused to be on camera, so he met him off camera.
Yeah.
Like, well, your dad said this, and like that's not true. She's like, why are you throwing my family under the bus? Like, and I'm willing to meet your family. It was just insane.
Oh my god.
So that was stressful. Oh, and then on another show that I watched that I'm also obsessed with right now is The Traitors on Peacock, and that show.
Oh, I need to watch it.
Amazing.
I think we mentioned it in like episode 1.
Yep. And Gabby grabbed the mic and took her turn. I will send you the link of her for the show notes of her claiming her power because it was unbelievable. The one woman that's really being an absolute jerk, she saying, well, you know, I could never be a traitor, and goes, yeah. And Gabby goes, yeah, me too. She's like, yeah, but I also voted for this person twice. She's like, yeah, so did I. I couldn't do it either. She grabbed it. It was amazing.
Jackie, I feel like you should narrate every show that is reality TV. Because I felt like I was going on this roller coaster right now, and like I weirdly could picture everything, and I was like, what's gonna happen next?
Oh, I know. Well, so here's the thing. I've always said this in the last couple of years. Whoever is editing these reality TV shows needs to win an Emmy because the level of skill of how they are editing these things is unbelievable to me. There was an episode.
Or do you think that they're twisted and they're living out playing these people as chess pieces?
Who knows? I mean, there was an episode of The Bachelor. It was like last year. And there was a girl named Maria that was in.
I already love this.
That was in the show. She was like, she was a villain, definitely painted as a villain. And it was, oh, what was his name? Joey was the bachelor.
Of course his name was Joey.
Yes. And Joey the Bachelor actually just won Dancing with the Stars. And he was wonderful on Dancing with the Stars. He was incredible. But Joey was the Bachelor. And he had Maria and then this other girl. They were fighting. And they really were not getting along. And he brought them on a date together. And it was obvious as the date was going on that one of them was going to get to stay. And the other one was going to be taken sent home. Right. So everybody was made to believe that like maybe Maria would finally go because she was causing a lot of trouble in the house, right? Now at The Bachelor, when you are on any of these dates, you pack your bag because, and then you leave it by the door because if you get sent home, you're just sent home from wherever you are. And then the producers.
Stop. I didn't know that.
Will come and get your bag for you. Okay.
They're so, like rushed off.
Yes. You're rushed off and then they come and grab your bag for you. Right. So it's very dramatic.
And better for liability.
Yes. Exactly. So the whole scene happens. He sends the other girl home and it's shocking that the other girl gets sent home and not Maria. And then they continue their date. And then all of a sudden they had a meal and then they're going to go into this other room and they're obviously going to dance to a slow song because that's now part of the dates now where they have some B-list artists come in and sing a song while they slow dance.
Like the artist is in the room.
Yes. Like, so it's usually like a ballroom or something and they go and watch like their own little private concert. It's really good. They walk into this room that's like this brand. It's like this, it's almost like it was a museum, basically. And there's an opera singer standing at the top of this sculpture or whatever in this room. And now remember, the girl's name is Maria. Singing Ave Maria.
Stop.
And Maria goes, and then we walked into the room and I heard my name coming from the heavens. And it's Maria. They start dancing, right? So then you watch them dance for a little bit and it's this like, you know, Ave Maria. Like very, very, you know, dramatic.
Oh my God.
And then
I'm so uncomfortable in my own skin right now.
And then at one point in the scene, it switches to back at the house and you see all the other women sitting in the living room. By the front door are the two bags. Watch the production assistant come in to obviously grab one of the bags.
Yeah.
Watching all the girls go like, oh my gosh, who's he gonna take? And then they take the other girls, not Maria's, and everyone goes, oh my God, it's Maria, she's staying. Meanwhile, you still hear, oh, I mean, it was pure gold. I saved it on my Instagram. I will find the video and I will send it to you because I will say you hear me laughing in the background because I couldn't contain myself. It was so good. And that was the first time that I ever saw a really, really good reality TV episode in terms of editing. And now Real Housewives of Salt Lake City, pure gold. Real Housewives of New York has some really good ones.
Jackie, I just want to tell you that you keep me really cool because I'm afraid to watch them, but I also want to be a little bit in the gossip about it.
Oh, there's nothing like it. And when the Traitors It's so good. I just recently got into it. And I got into it because I had two tour guests on my tour a couple of months ago that were like, The Traitors is the best show on television. You need to watch it. And I was
confirmed
like,
okay. by many of my patients who don't really have time to watch. And they're like, I'm watching it on the subway. I downloaded
it. It's really good. It's really interesting. I mean, because it's basically Mafia, which we used to play that at like sleepovers as kids.
Oh, I know. Or like when they were trying to kill time in a class.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So it's, and Alan Cumming is the host, and he just has some really great one-liners. I mean, that was another show. Vanderpump Rules.
Okay. That? I do have to watch that.
Vanderpump
because Rules. Because I did watch The Real Housewives when Lisa Vanderpump was on there.
Yes. Yes.
So I can be invested in that.
Yep. And she's amazing. And I started watching Vanderpump Rules after Scandoval hit. Because I was like,
that is why I was told, oh my gosh, there's this other podcast called like Everything Iconic. Uh-huh. And he talks about things like that. And my best friend Abby watches it. So Abby narrated it like you did. And then I listened to part of the podcast about it. And I was so involved in Scandoval without ever having watched the episode or, I mean, any of the show. So yeah, good. Like drama, as long as it's like 10 feet away and I can't touch it with like a pole.
Exactly.
I have so many opinions about it.
Exactly. Oh my gosh, you guys, my light just died. My light just died. Okay. So I have this little, okay. So in case you didn't know, another thing to add to my long list of jobs that I have, I also help out with social media part-time for Levin, which is really fun. And when I started the job, they sent me a little, it's like this rectangular light that I can put on a computer or put onto my phone. And it's actually really great. And I use it for self-tapes. And then I thought, let me use it for this as well. And it just died, and it makes my light look so good. And now I'm a little self-conscious because I look sullen, but you know what? We will.
It looks like mood lighting. It looks like mood lighting.
Oh, thanks, Danny. Thanks, Danny. So maybe, you know, maybe it'll give me some shadow to give me some definition, but we shall see. But I'm going to charge it so that it's ready for next time.
Oh, that's
but at least
good.
All of my reenactments of reality television still had good light. So,
oh my gosh, even after pausing so we could figure out the light, I couldn't stop laughing and praising Jackie for the wild ride she just took me on with like twists and turns without ever having seen any of the seasons. You truly are a storyteller.
Thank you so much. I mean, sometimes I just can't get over it, how good these scenes are. Actually, when we did on episode 2, the reenactments of the scenes that we got off of ChatGPT.
Oh, you mean the Great Juice Betrayal that we read?
Yes. The Great Juice Betrayal. It made me think one time, there's been a couple of episodes of Watch What Happens Live, which is Andy Cohen. He's one of the producers.
Yes.
And he has celebrities read iconic scenes from reality television. So what's his name? The guy from, Bryan Cranston. All praise Bryan Cranston. I love him. Bryan Cranston read Ariana's breakup monologue on air, and it was a masterclass. And I thought to myself,
from Scandoval,
do I need to add that monologue to my audition rep? Because I feel
think
like I
we're
should.
Probably gonna do that in a future episode.
Like, and I would love to add, like, I think we would do great actually recreating the scene from The Traitors this week with Danielle and Gabby. Can I please be Gabby? Because I just love her so much.
I guess also my full name is Danielle. So.
Yes.
And done and done.
Gabby says in the scene, she goes, I just sat there sipping my tea. Yes, it was awkward, but I was like, I'm not moving. It's so good.
I love it so much.
It's so good.
So now that okay, we just so watched- I'm going to have to watch that and then we can reenact it. Get ready, yes. Guys.
Get ready.
For Gabby and Danielle.
Yes.
On Traitors. I don't know why I'm being super sassy right now, but I like it. Nor do you like acting.
I do too.
So I'm going to fast forward a little bit to our recap of our podcast guest from last episode, Miss Queen Victoria Magnuson. Mm-hmm. And I wanted us to share a little bit about what resonated with us, like 3 points each, and go a little bit into depth with it. Mm-hmm. I guess I can start with, I feel very validated about my fear of the top subway step after hearing about her eat shit on the top step. It's a real thing, you guys. The steps are not all the same heights. When you get in that repetitive pattern, you're gonna go down.
Mm-hmm.
I think the second point would be, I loved when she said accepting the mindset that you're replaceable or mm-hmm. that seasons can end. And she was right. Normally we equate that with like, oh God, that was my chance. That was, or like with a failure. But mm-hmm. what Queen Victoria was saying was you're in control. You can mm-hmm. decide to walk away from that and not hang on to it, but like keep moving in the directions that you want to keep moving. So that could be a closed door because you have like 10 others open. That path could be closed or at a dead end because you have other sights to see. So mm-hmm. I thought that was really cool. And lastly, just her ability to show up consistently, even when energy and motivation wanes. I kind of want to talk about you for a second because there's a couple times this week where like we were just both really tired and you showed up to 6 a.m. strength, even though we had been like texting pretty late the night before. And then again, you showed up for 7 a.m. dance cardio when like, if I look back at my text messages, I think we were like texting Thursday night at like 11 p.m. And even afterwards, you were like, I'm so tired. But I was like, you did it. Like, mm-hmm. it's not about you do it if you feel good. You do the thing because it's a thing that we're supposed to be doing in that moment. And it's something like each class adds up to fitness and health. It's the same thing in life. Like all these little steps add up. And so mm-hmm. when there isn't motivation and when there isn't, you know, that feeling of like happiness and instead there's like dread, it's consistency that we're going for. So I want to praise you for living out Queen Victoria's advice.
Oh, Danny, thank you.
What about you, Jackie?
There were so many things that resonate with me. I just could not get over that episode and all of the juicy tidbits that she had to share. I really loved You Are Replaceable, mainly because I know that for me as an actor in like jobs that like the little jobs that we do in between gigs, like sometimes it they can feel very important because it's like, this is the way that I make money in between gigs. And also like, I want to stay on a good footing with them. And I want them to like what I do so that, you know, when I go do a show, I can come back and have my job back. And sometimes it can add to a lot of pressure. And so it gave permission that if something isn't working, that you can change directions. And
yeah, that you can recognize that and it's in your hands to,
mm-hmm.
I completely agree. That resonated with me so much.
Mm-hmm. I also just, I want to shout her out because she was telling us about her schedule for the day and just how much she's able to get done. I found that really inspiring. I'm someone that...
Without an assistant.
Yep. I'm someone that can run, 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 run all day, but I can tell you that I will never clean for 2 hours a day. And when she said that, I was literally like, holy smokes. My house can definitely be a mess. It, you know, the dust is there. Things are organized, but the dust is there. And I think, I mean, it's unbelievable to hear that. And then finally, the last thing that just really gave me chills was talking about daydreaming. And
I mean,
I love that reminder to daydream.
If you don't daydream, that you, things probably won't come to fruition. Like you and I were daydreaming about this.
Mm-hmm.
And you had mentioned that in the beginning of this episode. And when you dare to daydream, possibilities that you didn't think could be exist in your mind, and then you can make them exist outside. Mm-hmm. But if you don't allot yourself the time, the energy, or the space to daydream, and you actually, I think you can limit yourself.
For sure.
So yeah. Queen Victoria,
snaps. We love you. Thank you. We learned so much.
Hey, Jackie.
Yes.
I added this in last minute. I briefly mentioned it to you, but Jackie sent me a TikTok video of a little girl. So we're going to play it in another, we'll probably put it in the show notes as well. I think it's on Instagram too. So scene, this little girl is on stage. It's like their Christmas pageant. And she is like shorter, just has like, looks like one of the, not like dance kids, but like the dance mom hairdos, where like her hair is like kind of curly and big, but it's like kind of like cotton candy-ish on her head too. This little cute redhead. And they give her the mic. And the first thing that she says is, "I am very proud of myself and my class. My class is really sweet, except one little boy." How many times have you wanted to do that? She took the mic and took her turn. That little girl gave me the mic when she took it and called out those little boys.
Wait, that video, when it came out, it made me so happy. One, it's just like the way she looks. Like she has like an Abby Lee Miller hairdo. It looks like she's about to wear a power suit and go. God. Yeah, she looks like she's gonna wear a power suit and go to the office after this. And the teacher obviously like wanted students to come up and say something. And so she's wearing this black dress with like a little bit of like gold in it. And then she has these red shoes. I mean, just iconic. And she goes, "And I just need to say," and then the teacher grabs the mic away from her because they're like, she can't like call out this little boy. And as she's walking off the stage, she kind of has this little like moment where she's just like flailing her hands a bit. And someone said in the comments, she looks like she's just thought and said, "I've said too much. Or another one that I saw was, "Come find me later and I'll tell you what's going on here."
Yes. Like I wasn't done. Yeah, it was. She, that little gal stepped into her power. I so want to know about that little boy too.
I know.
I do.
I know. And I loved her. First of all, I love little kids and funny things that little kids say. My parents actually have books that, I forget what they called them. Oh my goodness. The name is escaping me right now. But each of us kids have a book where they would just write one-liners in it that we said.
That is such a great idea.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So any like funny things that people have said, they're all in the book, all in the books. So like one time my dad tells this story all the time that I did not have an athletic bone in my body. We all have other talents. And my dad wanted me to play T-ball. And he said, go get your glove, meaning my baseball glove. And I came downstairs with my lace Easter gloves. So that went into the book.
Oh my gosh. I can see that. I can kind of see that now. Like Matt was like, go get your gloves. You're like, yep. Down. But and now they're like long sleeves, silk or velvet all the way up to your armpit.
Exactly. And then I was in, they would like put me in the outfield, obviously, because I had nothing to offer the game. And it's like springtime, like the wind would be blowing. And I'd be like, Mom, can you see the wind blowing my hair?
Meanwhile, Jackie, I was getting in trouble with my parents because I thought playing sports meant I could yell and swear at other people. And I sounded like the little kid from A Christmas Story when he's like beating up the other kid. And I'm like, and I would, in soccer, I would see a girl and I would be like, I'm going to take that ball away from her. And I would hunt her down. Even if I was playing defender, I would take the ball and I would go all the way to the opposite side of the field and score. And I thought that I was supposed to be scoring all of the goals. I thought I was supposed to be scoring all the baskets in basketball. And I got to say whatever I wanted, but apparently that wasn't true. So my books of one-liners would not be appropriate ever since the age of 4. I have all the competitive bones in my body.
Oh, that's funny. That is funny.
Oh my gosh. But I will say that my best friends when I was younger were like you. And so I have a feeling we would have been best friends.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
For sure. For sure. I love that.
Oh my word. It's fun to reflect on like when you see a little kid and you're like, oh yeah, I remember what I was like at that age. You're like, my parents told me at this age. But yes. I did feel like this little girl was the voice that I wanted. Okay. Moving on to our big, I don't know. We were thinking, you guys, we were thinking this might be a little bit taboo and maybe some of you guys are not old enough for this. But here's a fun fact. The week that we launched the My Turn podcast, Monica Lewinsky launched her podcast, and it's called Reclaiming with Monica Lewinsky. Mm-hmm. And there's no judgment from us here. And Jackie had heard about this podcast on Call Her Daddy.
Yes.
And can you talk about what you had heard? So
Monica Lewinsky was on Call Her Daddy, which is a really great podcast. And Alex Cooper, the host, interviews a lot of really great people on there. And she had Monica Lewinsky on. And Monica was looking back at that time in her life. And I was there were two feelings that I had. First of all, I really admired her for coming on and talking about this, because I'm sure it would be very easy to be like, I don't want to go back to that part of my life at all. Mm-hmm. And she stepped into her power, grabbed her mic and talked about it. But then she also was saying how she acknowledged that she had made mistakes, that it wasn't the best choice that she could have made. But I had such compassion for her. Because I remember, I'll actually never forget, we were at a family friend's down at the Jersey Shore the night that President Clinton went on that press conference where he said, did not have relations with that woman. And I remember watching, and like, I don't think I thought of her in a bad light, but I remember thinking, oh, like, that wasn't good. And that wasn't a good thing that happened.
Same. Yeah. I remember sitting around the TV with my family and they were watching the news and it came on. And I did have a very like black and white upbringing.
Mm-hmm.
And so I wasn't confused on the situation for what I had been taught. But mm-hmm. I remember being like, presidents, this happens to presidents.
Mm-hmm.
And when it started to unfold, we were like 7 years old. And the first time exactly I heard it was on the TV, and it was President Clinton denying it. And then all of a sudden, as this starts to come out, their hidden relationship, this affair, starts to come out. She's the one thrown under the bus. Mm-hmm. The number of times that I heard, like, she's a Jezebel, she's, you know, I think I listened to the first episode of her podcast, and like people had been making fun of her. And there was nicknames for her that people were saying. And I remember being like, well, isn't President Clinton? Nobody's saying anything bad about him.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Exactly. And I knew I wanted to talk to you about this on here because I sort of felt guilty for, now we were 7, 8 years old. So there, we were children at this point when this all happened.
We know.
but I think back and I'm like, wow, she was a villain and seen as a villain.
No, she was seen as a villain at the age of 24. So yes. For those of you guys who probably are a little bit younger and don't know about the whole thing with Monica Lewinsky and President Bill Clinton, they were having relations while in the White House, and she was an aide, right? In the White House. And so it was this whole scandal that had taken place, and she got dragged, her name got dragged through the mud, and she disappeared for a while. And so she felt like she lost her narrative at age 24. And mm-hmm. her podcast now, thank you, Jackie, for turning me on to that. She defines that reclaiming is to take back what was yours and what you possessed. And for her, that was her narrative. People mm-hmm. had taken her narrative and her voice from her. And what I learned from listening to the intro and part of it is that you're never in a state of permanency. And like, I'm also learning that we can't, if somebody makes a mistake and they are actually changing, who are we to say, nope, this is what they did and that's what defines them.
Mm-hmm.
And that on Call Her Daddy, which is a huge podcast, she did admit she had her part in it. Which mm-hmm. I think also that's what Queen Victoria was talking about, was accountability.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, this was, it's a tough topic to speak about. And then, you know, having that black and white thinking, I think I was really swayed to, even now I was like, oh my God, Monica Lewinsky has a podcast. And then when I listened to it, it really was resonated with me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I know, because it's easy to vilify her, and it's kind of like, oh, I know she did something wrong. I could never yeah. side with her. I could never feel compassion for her. And I felt such compassion because, yes, she had a part in it, but she wasn't the only one to have a part in it.
She wasn't the only one. And yes. I feel like oftentimes that's what happens, particularly mm-hmm. to anyone not a male.
Yep. Yep.
To women. And I really applaud her bravery and for taking the mic. It's such a my turn moment.
It really is a my turn moment. That's why I thought we needed to talk about it, because I thought just amazing. It was just amazing. And I really admired her for that. And applaud her bravery in that situation. Same. Because I'm sure she was coming on to a lot of people saying, how dare you do that? And who do you think you are? And, you know, that yeah. it is. She's reclaimed her narrative for sure.
And we are here for it.
Exactly. Exactly.
And lastly, in our culture catch-up, actually, it's our pop culture catch-up. The Oscars are tonight.
Yes.
Jackie was having me plan around it, and I didn't know it was happening. So yes. I have a few questions for Jackie, and then I made up some awards because I didn't really know what the awards were, because I don't really watch. So who do we want to win, and what are they winning, and why?
Well, so I actually have only seen a couple of movies from this season. So a lot of the ones that I think potentially could win, I actually have not seen yet, which is, you know, shame on me, but you know, it is what it is. It is. But I will say, I would love to see Ariana Grande win for Best Supporting Actress for Wicked. She is unbelievable in that movie. And I actually think that this would be her year to win. Cynthia Erivo was also nominated, but I feel like Cynthia Erivo could win next year because the next second part of the movie will come out next year. So I think that she'll be nominated then. Same with John Chu, who directed Wicked. He was not nominated for it this year, but he will probably be nominated, which is kind of wild.
Okay.
Yes. And then here's the thing that I have not, again, I have not seen this movie yet. I've heard it's really disturbing, so I don't know if I can handle it, but.
Are you going to talk about, does it start with an S?
Yes. Demi Moore is up for Best Actress. I want her to win because I didn't realize this. She has never won an Oscar or really ever been in that category whatsoever. And talk about consistency and talk about showing up. She's been in this industry for a long time and deserves her flowers. So I really want her to win tonight.
I'm not above that. I have been told to see Substance as well. After I read about it, I have to do some more thinking. But I will say she looks phenomenal.
She does. She does. And it just would be really cool to see her win. I also really loved the movie Juror Number 2. That's not even, it didn't even get nominations. And it was an unbelievable movie. So I'm bummed.
Can you just talk about what I'm still bummed at? And yes, you guys, I'm hanging my hat on this. How disappointing all the nominations that weren't from the Barbie movie.
I know.
Yet Ryan Gosling got a nomination, right, for it. So I'm still mad at it. So I don't know if I will be watching, but I'm certainly going to look up everything. I cannot wait to hear about someone's My Turn moment. That I hope that happens. And I love all the silly things that happen too. And oh, you guys, I hope there's some spicy drama.
Not yes.
I don't want anyone to get slapped. You know what I'm talking about.
Yes.
But I want some spicy drama.
Exactly. Do you remember the year that I will never forget this? The year when it was Moonlight versus La La Land.
And
they said that Moonlight won Best Picture and the whole team stood up and then they went, we read the wrong envelope and it was actually La La Land. Oh my gosh.
Or what about last year when it was Al Pacino and he didn't even talk about the other nominees and he's like, what does my envelope say? And he just blurts out the award.
Oh my gosh. I know. I love award show season. You know what? I am a sucker for like a Sunday night event. The Oscars, the Super Bowl, the Grammys. My personal Christmas is the Tony Awards. We will have a full episode about that when it happens in June. That is like my jam. I'm all about.
Oh my gosh. Well, the Tony Awards, I actually have watched, or I do watch now. I keep close tabs mostly because of our community, our Broadway community. We have a lot of friends and people that we just love who are in that world, including yourself. Mm-hmm. And so, we should make a night of it. I think we should.
We really should. I love the Tony Awards. The Tony Awards are going to be juicy this year.
Oh man.
I can't wait.
Ugh. And I made up some awards, by the way.
Well, okay, here we go.
Because I was on the subway and I made myself laugh. These may not make anybody laugh. But so Danny makes up awards. And I think there should be an award of like, out of all the film sets, out of all of like what's going on, There should be an award for the kindest person on set. And I also think it should be accompanied by money so that there's an incentive. And then I don't know what they're called, but I have a lot of friends and patients who are in TV and film. And I want to know who the best PA is. That's producer assistant, right?
Mm-hmm. Production assistant. Mm-hmm.
Production assistant. Production assistant, not public announcement. Mm-hmm. And I also think there should be an award for most down-to-earth cast because this one is selfish, like ambiguously selfish. I want this to be an award because I want to know what celebrities I actually want to hang out with.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to be tricked by fake niceties or anything like that. I want to know like who's the real people mm-hmm. who are down with the clown.
Uh-huh.
And then the most winning for the most wild moment on set, whether it's good or bad, like whether it's like, oh my God, these two are dating, or like there was a knife fight between two A-list celebrities.
I love it. I love it. I think those are fun. I think those are fun awards.
I think so too. I think they are a testament to character. Mm-hmm. And shout out to the PAs. Mm-hmm. You know, they're doing the most. They're doing mm-hmm. the most.
Mm-hmm. For sure. For sure. I love it. Okay, switching gears. I want to talk a little bit about what we did on Friday.
Yes.
We had the immense privilege of being on Jolyn Baca-Jakel's Fab Female 30-minute Instagram Live on Friday afternoons. So Jolyn, let me tell you about Jolyn. Jolyn and I met 12, 13 years ago. She used to teach this incredible, incredible workout class called Intensati, where you do basically, you do cardio moves, but then you say positive mantras along with them. So as you're doing the moves, you're saying the mantras so that it just kind of like becomes mind body experience. And like,
I love that.
She's an incredible teacher. So that's how I met her. And she's just always been in my life in and out because of that. And so we've stayed in contact. So when I saw that she was doing this, I was like, oh, that's so cool. I never thought that like maybe one day I could be on it or that we could be on it. I thought that'd be really cool. But she reached out to us and asked us to come on. And it was so much fun.
A compliment to, she's such a boss lady. She's a journalist that is interviewing women to support them and find out more about them and spread their endeavors and mm-hmm. exactly in alignment with what we're doing. And mm-hmm. it was so much fun.
Mm-hmm. Can we talk about how she like
energy, like her energy.
And how she also, I was shocked at how much like she had listened to every episode and had things to talk about each episode. And I was like, oh my gosh, you like actually listened.
She was like, knew exactly, did her homework, journalist.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it was a great experience. We didn't have an agenda. She pulled us through it. She had one, but she pulled us through it. And oh God, she said one point, we could all talk forever, and I wish that was the case. So, Jolyn, if you ever want to talk forever, come on here.
We're here.
We're going to post her Instagram again in the show notes mm-hmm. And some other information from her. But I also want to talk about the fact that I was cozy in my clinic room doing this Instagram Live. And Jackie was like in between appointments and went into a lobby to take this call. And what happened?
Yes. Okay. So my friends, I discovered something new this year. Sometimes you don't have time to go home in between things, right? So I had a voice lesson, like I said earlier, at 2:00. This call was at 1:00. There was no way that I was going to be able to take that call at home and then get to my voice lesson. And I was really kind of distraught. Where am I going to take this call? Because I have to look professional. I have to be ready to go. And I was ready because it was actually pretty nice. I thought it was a little chilly, but I thought it'll be okay. I was ready to go and take it like in like a courtyard because near my the voice lesson on 8th Avenue, there are a bunch of hotels that have outdoor seating. And when I got out of Penn Station, I saw this hotel and I thought, let me see what it looks like in there. And I walked in and it was perfection. There were these really nice tables that had like, it was like a high bar table with these like stools around it. There were other cozy chairs. There were a lot of people in the cozy chairs. So I thought, let me go over to this table. There was a couple sitting across from me, but I was like, I think it'll be okay. And they actually left and I was like, yes, okay, good. And it was like 5 minutes to one. I was like, perfect. No one's going to sit here. And then literally one of my favorite Broadway dancers, Danny Gardner, comes over and sits right across from me. And I was like, oh my gosh. And it was so funny because my voice teacher has talked to me about him because he's an incredible tap dancer. I've seen him in a bunch of things. He was in a bunch of shows. He's so good. An incredible leading man, dancer, guy. And he was obvious, and he actually put in his headphones because it looked like he had lyrics to a song. So he was either going over a song for an audition or he was getting ready to choreograph something. That's what it seemed like. Mm-hmm. So he was taking notes down. And then his sweet wife came over. And first of all, what a gentleman. His wife is expecting, I think. And he was like, is this comfortable for you? Which I was like, oh.
Of course. I mean, wonderful.
What a wonderful.
That's what we want. We want that's to know what we that want. About a person.
That's what we want. Yeah. So then I sat there and I was ready to say something to him because I'm always someone, my mentor has always said, like, it's not about who you know in this industry. It's about who you're willing to introduce yourself to, which I'm obsessed with that.
Oh, so, whoa.
I know. We'll add that to it. We'll talk about that. But I was like, oh my gosh, I want to introduce myself to Danny Gardner. But I also knew that I was about to blow up all of his quiet time by doing this Instagram Live. Luckily, I didn't ruin it too much. And they were fine. They were both in their headphones. But then, like, in the middle of the interview, like, these two other people came over to them to talk to them. Obviously, they were meeting them there. And they were chatting. And I really wanted to be like, excuse me, like, I'm on an Instagram Live right now. But it was great. And now I know that the New Yorker lobby is amazing. And I've actually recently discovered this year that hotel lobbies are like where it's at. If you need to kill time in between something and it's cold out, like go sit in a hotel lobby.
Didn't Jolynn, you were like, I'm actually in the hotel lobby of the New Yorker. And Jolynn was like, I have changed in many hotel lobbies in between things I had to go to. Oh,
I felt very validated.
Tell me you're a New Yorker without telling me you're a New Yorker.
Exactly. Oh, it was great. It was actually like really nice. So now I know if I have like time to kill, I'll just go there. I mean, there was.
Yeah, why not?
There were places to charge. I was like, I love this. I love this.
Wow.
Yes. So that was really fun. That was really fun. Okay. Danny, I'm ready to ask you some big questions real fast.
Okay.
So Danny, a couple of months ago, gosh, how long ago is this now? Danny was, we at The Limit, we do these community talks, or every so often, the founder will have someone on to talk about a specific topic. So Danny was brought on to talk about, it was
it was pelvic floor.
Oh my gosh. Okay. I'm sorry.
Like pertaining to everyone.
Yes.
Yeah. So okay. That was the topic that was covered.
That was the topic that was covered. Okay, great. So it was pelvic floor. So I watched it on, I wasn't there live, unfortunately, but I got to watch the replay afterwards. And I was just reveling in the brilliance of Danny, obviously. But I was also incredibly confused because, so I've heard people talk about pelvic floor, right? But to me, it was not clicking for me, right? And then actually in the strength class one time at The Limit, Beth, the teacher, had us do a sumo squat and she said, you're going to feel your pelvic floor expand. And I actually felt it, which I was like, okay.
She's like, I have one of those.
Then you're going to pull up and then it's going to scoop up, which I was like, oh my gosh. And so I texted Danny. I was like, Danny, I think I understand. But I hope that other people listening on this podcast can also validate me and say that you don't understand as well. And maybe I won't feel so alone. And now Danny is going to take some time to answer those questions. So, because you hear a lot, especially as women, because eventually, you know, when we talk about it a lot in pregnancy, what is pelvic floor and, you know, why we need to work on this. And so now I'm like, oh my gosh, like time's a ticking. Like we got to like work on the pelvic floor so that we're ready for things. Like, how does this work? So I have a couple of questions. Okay.
Okay. Hit me with them.
So these are very like basic level. We're going for elementary school level answers here. Okay. Here we go. So what is the pelvic floor and why does it matter?
Okay. Most of the time we don't know what the pelvic floor is, and I'm going to try to avoid a lot of doctor lingo. I'm actually well versed in treating the pelvic floor. It's part of my practice. But I can get into that later. I treat it as an orthopedic piece as well. So in layman's terms, the pelvic floor muscles, if you want to identify them and feel them and you do not want to open up an anatomy book, it's like your saddle. So if you sit down in your seat, you feel your sits bones, and then you roll forward, all the stuff that you roll forward onto is your pelvic floor. So when your pelvic floor muscles contract, they contract around the anus. So they stop your farts and your poop, and it contracts around your vaginal area. So we call that most people think that that's only a Kegel, but males can do Kegels too. And it contracts around the urethra, so it stops the flow of urine. I will also, these are layman's terms, they are also, you can identify them by these terms, the gooch and or the taint. that's what most people use it for. And then you say, oh, your pelvic floor. And they're like, I don't know what that is. And you're like, you do though. You do. So yeah, that's
okay.
We're getting real here.
This is great. Okay. So then why is the pelvic floor important for breathing?
So I'm going to speak more to performers and singers, but in general, it works in conjunction with the diaphragm. So the diaphragm is like a dome that's at the bottom of your rib cage. And your pelvic floor is a dome that's at the bottom of your pelvis. And so when you breathe in, your diaphragm comes down, but so does your pelvic floor. So you guys can't see my hands, but if we were to inhale, my hands are slowly both moving towards the floor. My higher hand is the diaphragm. My lower hand is the pelvic floor. And then when you exhale, in order to help compress the lungs and get everything out, both the diaphragm and the pelvic floor kind of rise and the pelvic floor sort of scoops up. You will feel your diaphragm in most of the breathing, but you should not necessarily feel your pelvic floor. And I think there's a big misconception when you do Kegels, you're like, oh, so I should be feeling this when I'm running or I'm sitting or I'm doing everything. No, we're doing a bigger contraction that is focused, so that later you can do what we call a graded contraction. So it's a contraction that matches whatever the activity is.
Okay. I'm learning a lot here. Okay. What is pelvic floor PT then?
Most people, like you said, talk about pelvic floor pertaining to like pregnancy or postpartum. So we usually think about that, but also we do pelvic floor for menopause when the tissues, the estrogen comes down and tissues start to atrophy a little bit and we need to gain back the ability to contract or turn on those muscles. But I would say I still work on the pelvic floor without touching it when it comes to dancers, performers, singers.
Because there's a lot of exercises that you can do that reset the pelvic floor and the diaphragm before you start doing your warm up so that your resonance is louder. It returns your, it kicks in both, at the same time, their resisted exhalation and inhalation, such as blowing into a balloon. But pelvic floor PT, what we do is we work, if we're working straight on the pelvic floor, we're working externally around the anus, around the vaginal opening, around the urethra. And then you can also go intraanally or intravaginally to loosen up the muscles. And oftentimes we have to do quote unquote pelvic floor internally because you can actually reach the obturators better from internally for helping out the hips. So it's pelvic floor PT is a lot of manual work, but then we have to get it coordinated.
And then what are some common misconceptions about pelvic floor PT and who it's for?
Misconceptions about pelvic floor PT. There could be a whole podcast on this. Mm-hmm. I will refrain my rage and I will not stand on my soapbox. Misconception is that it's only for women for leaky pelvic floors. So like snissing. So pissing when you sneeze. It's actually stress incontinence. So you're putting a lot of pressure on the pelvic floor and then it causes you to leak. It's not only for women who have like tearing or C-sections during birth, or rectus diastasis. It's for people with like tailbone pain. Do you remember that one time we were listening to the toast and then yes. You were like, Danny, one of them has coccidentia.
Yes.
And they're talking about it. And then we posted about it and I was like, I can help you. I'm in New York.
Yes, yes.
So they did not contact me, but I can help you with that. So I would see people who are avid cyclists and then all of a sudden they're getting tailbone pain. Females is just tailbone pain. Males, I was also seeing for like testicular numbness and as it relates to the back too. And surprise, it's actually, it has a lot of orthopedic implications that a lot of physical therapists miss because the pelvic floor is taboo because apparently we're all Ken and Barbie dolls with no nether regions. Mm-hmm. So like I said previously, it can affect your hips. But my husband and I and many others who practice like us, we found that when you have chronic low back pain and we can get it down to like 10 to 15% left, generally there's a pelvic floor issue. Like the muscles are really tight and they're not letting go. So then your sit bones aren't really spreading how they're supposed to be and you're loading your spine inefficiently or you're not breathing correctly. And so that's going to affect like your posture. So those are some other things that pelvic floor is really helpful for: hips, low back, and postural restructuring alignment.
Holy smokes. I had no idea. That's wild. Okay. We're learning a lot here, folks. We're learning a lot. Okay. So now here are like my personal questions. Okay. So this is all verbatim how I've posed these questions. Okay. So to me, it seems like when you scoop up your pelvic floor, you breathe in at that point. Like I think we're scooping up, so we're breathing in. But I think it's supposed to be the opposite.
Yeah. So that's actually what we look for when we're doing an initial pelvic examination. Whether if you breathe in, if you're bulging out, it's not. That means, if it's drawing up, it's your intra-abdominal pressure is off and you're sort of working against your diaphragm. And the reason we want the pelvic floor to kind of come down with the diaphragm is we're actually lowering a lot of things in your pelvis and trying to change the pressure with it around the lungs so that you can maximally inhale. And then on the exhale, we're compressing all of the lungs. And so we're trying to use our pelvic floor to scoop up our organs and help lift the lungs so that we can get everything out.
Mm-hmm. Here we go. How do you know when you're doing the exercise correctly and how to test if it's working or like just wishful thinking? Like, I think that I know that I'm doing it, but like, am I really doing it?
It's a little bit of wishful thinking. That's okay. We want to have hope. The body keeps the score. So we want to make this a positive experience. ways that you can know that you are doing like a Kegel exercise is, again, if you roll forward. So for females, you're going to roll forward onto the, if you're sitting, you're going to roll forward in front of your tailbone onto the vaginal opening. And for males, you're going to roll off of the tailbone forward where your taint would be, which is behind your sac. And you, without, if you don't want to use your breath, you can try to squeeze up and in, and you should be able to feel that feedback.
I do. I feel it.
And then you should be able to, what an actual Kegel is, it's the ability to go from an actual resting position, contract all the way, and then return back to that relaxed state. So that you have all the fibers that you need. So if you needed, if your pelvic floor needed to kick in for an even greater task, then it wouldn't be weak because you would have all the fibers available to you. You can also stick your hand there, and down there, you can externally feel your muscles, and then you can squeeze up and in and see if you feel like your hand, feel a contraction under your hand. And then lastly, you can actually use your fingers intraanally or intravaginally. And that's normally when people are learning how to do that, they're usually with a professional, like an OBGYN, a urologist, or a physical therapist. And lastly, I recommend the PeriFit. If you do think that you have some, you want to gain a better awareness, it's like this device that you can put intravaginally, and it connects to your phone. You don't have to charge it. It lasts like 10 years. Mm-hmm. And you play video games. So I'm going to set the scene. It's like, you know, those Super Mario pipes from on Nintendo. So there's like these pipes and they come up from the ground. They also like drop down from the sky, and you're a bird. And when you contract, the bird goes up. When you relax, the bird comes down. There's sensors in this thing. And so you can have scores, and you can also compete against actual people who are doing it at the same time as you. And Grace, I'm going to beat you next time. I don't know who you are. I don't know where in the world you are, but it's going to happen. You beat me by a point. But I would recommend that. So I'm going to put that in the show notes. Yeah, I'm a huge fan, I praise it.
Oh, that's really funny. That is really funny. I always, and I just keep thinking about that episode of Sex and the City when Samantha talks about those, and she's like, I'm doing them right now. And then she goes,
I mean, we could do it through this whole episode.
It makes me laugh. Okay. And then, how often to practice, and like, when should you seek professional help?
So that's sort of the challenge, is because a lot of the people that I see, actually, they can contract really well, but they can't relax. And that's what makes their pelvic floor weak, is that their pelvic floor is so tight that they actually cannot contract. And so when people just say, do your Kegels, there's actually prescriptive exercise Kegels depending on if your pelvic floor is loose and or there's lack of coordination or there's lack of endurance or is really tight, and then we have to teach you how to manually loosen it and then how to do certain Kegels. So you can do Kegels for strengthening, for awareness. You can also do stretches for it to relax it and then see if you can coordinate your Kegels. So it sort of depends on the person and like how often to practice. There's a lot of information online, but I would check with like a pelvic floor specialist Usually a manual therapist, or there are just pelvic floor practices that can help you out. And also a lot of trainers can help with this. Pre and postnatal trainers are very well versed in this. And once you get those Kegels, you actually need to challenge your pelvic floor and gap the bridge into functional things. So yes, you can do your Kegels lying down and standing up, but then like, is it actually responding to like graded exercise or to the actions that you're doing? And so we need to work our pelvic floor and test it out through jumping, core work, step ups, things like that. So it doesn't stop with a Kegel.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. I feel like I learned a lot. I appreciate this because it was one of those things where I remember what first time we ever talked about this in class, and I've heard it a bunch of times. I was just really confused by how it worked. Cause again, like I was just thinking of it opposite, and
yeah,
it's really exciting to like finally feel, cause it is, it's true. Like you, it's very subtle. You don't really notice it. Yeah. So thank you for this lesson.
You're welcome.
This was very, very helpful. This was very helpful. Okay. So key takeaways from today, on a fun note, we love reality television and I'm getting into it. Very excited about that. We also, what else did we learn today? We're excited for the Oscars. We're excited about the people in media that are taking the mic. Also, yes. That children always take the mic. That's really exciting as well. They say
the darndest things.
They really do. They really do.
We had takeaways from Victoria when we recapped it about accepting that you're replaceable, but that doesn't mean that you don't have your power or control. You can control the situation and you can choose to go in a different direction and pursue other dreams. And then leading into dreams, don't forget to daydream. Daydreaming leads us a lot in life. It's where a lot of our pursuits begin, whether we know it or not. And then I would say motivation can wane. And so consistency is always the key when you don't feel like it. And just getting things done. Like you can get things done in the day. And Jackie, if you wanted to, I believe in you cleaning for 2 hours, 2 to 3 hours.
I can do it.
You can do it.
We can do it.
I think, and then we're going to have a bunch of things in the show notes, like Power by Little Mix, the Monica Lewinsky podcast, information on Victoria again, and on Jolyn Baca-Jakel. And we're going to put your voice lesson teacher on there.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And, the Ave Maria.
Yes, I will find that.
Sure. Yep.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
For this masterpiece, actually.
Oh, goodness.
You're welcome.
I hope it doesn't ruin Ave Maria for me. Sometimes I pretend I can sing it, but it's just like grandiose gestures and my mouth open. And then I'm so excited for our next guest who is coming. Her name is Heather DeMercy, and she is a PT, DPT, CFMT, FFMT, FAA, OMPT. We will explain all of those when she is on the podcast, but you got to love that alphabet soup. And I affectionately refer to her as the GOAT of the West Coast. She's a mother, a podcaster, a doctor of physical therapy, and a business owner. And she has two locations in the LA area, one in Santa Monica, and I'm totally blanking on the other, but she will be able to explain that to us or fill us in on that. And we're so excited to have her, and we can probably ask some of these pelvic questions too, but we're going to talk to her about her journey, what it means to step into her power. And she's also become like internationally recognized for her practice, where people are flying in for her. And it's not too often that there's women in our field. It's a very male-dominated, very ego-dominated field. And we've sort of had similar stories. And so I wanted her to share hers. And lastly, I wanted to share, because I love bragging about my friends, she used to be a Division I swimmer. So yeah, wow. She's kind of a fucking boss.
I'm so excited. Wait, how did you meet her?
So she has what's called the CFMT, Certified Functional Manual Therapist. I am one too. We both have done residencies through the Institute of Physical Art, also called IPA, not the beer. And her and I met because in order to sit for a certification, you need to, usually people don't go through a residency in physical therapy, and we did. I would say, honestly, that puts us ahead of a lot of people practicing. And I know that sounds a little bit braggy, but it's pretty rigorous training. And so we have this way where we are manual therapists, where we look at it's a certain approach, basically. And it's very integrative, and it's the whole body. So something might hurt, we'll address that part, but usually there's a driver that we're able to, or what I like to call a silent culprit. We can kind of tackle that. And I met her in these classes because she was TAing when we went down to, I think, Pasadena, when Mark and I were living in California, and we were taking these courses. And her and I just like glued to each other. It was just this magical moment. And I would say, honestly, I'm going to call us out. I would say a lot of times when there are females with really strong personalities, they become opposing forces rather than joining as one. And that was not the case for Heather and I. And we now refer to each other, East Coast and West Coast. We share patients. And I would say that she's become a really good friend, confidant when I needed to complain about some stuff. And lastly, she's been like a really helpful mentor on business, I would say life and balance, and especially in PT.
Oh, I can't.
That was really long-winded. I love how I was like, this will be the next episode, and it's 5 minutes that we're going to talk. And it's like, no, I just did the whole podcast without her. No, I'm kidding.
I'm so excited to talk to her.
Oh my goodness. She is the goat, the dream.
The goat. Yeah. I can't wait. Yes.
Yes. And we'll have her on Thursday. We'll post that one.
Yes. We can't wait. We can't wait.
Well, now that we have gotten through everything on our agenda.
That was a long one, but it was well worth it, I think. I had fun. Did you have fun?
Oh, I had so much fun. I mean, you freaking took me for a ride.
I'm here for you at any point. If anyone ever wants to talk about reality television, I'm your girl. I can sit with a cup of coffee or a drink and like really, or Diet Coke. Honestly, Diet Coke is my drink of choice. We could sit and chat and like really delve deep into the thing. So I'm here for you at any point.
I just want to throw this out there. I would love to have just a camera on you while you watch these shows, just to see your gestures, your gasps.
Mm-hmm.
And I wish there was some way to like pause it and have you turn towards the camera and be like, I cannot believe this because blah, 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 blah. Anyway, back to the show.
Maybe I'll do that actually. You know what? Maybe I'll film that with the Love is Blind. Like the weddings are next week. Maybe I'll do that.
Yes.
Okay. I'll do
Agreed.
That.
Agreed.
I'll do it. Yay.
All right. Well, thank you everybody for listening again to our ranting and our passion.
Yes. Yes. We will see you soon.
Don't forget to grab the mic. It's your turn.
Yes.